Thought for today. Dreams are achieved by waking up. Dreams are achieved by waking up. Dreams are achieved by waking up. Now, every one of you would just love to be an ascended master right now, fulfilled in every way, aware that you are. Now, every one of you have no interest in being an ascended master. You have no interest in being illumined and aware right now. Herb, that's not fair. Why are you saying that? Well, this school that we are in right here is the last step. You think that the major schools around the world are the last step. You know that if you were to research schools around the world, guiding people to their inner illumination, to their inner awareness of being a master, you'd find many. Many wonderful, marvelous schools with outstanding chairs, teachers, people working there. But why aren't you there? Why are you here? And why do you run away from here so quickly? You don't run away from there so quickly, or maybe you do. One school might teach the very difficult role of going into the mountains of the Himalayas, you're familiar with it, and going to the icy pool and dipping in your saffron robe, and then putting it on your naked body at eventide, and then sit out in sub-zero weather and dry that robe. There's nothing sexual about being naked. There's nothing sexual about putting on an ice-cold sheet over your warm body, hopefully. There's nothing sexual about it. But there's something very demanding about it. You say, oh, I'll do it. Some people die in the process. Some people live. You say, I'll do it. It's exciting. Oh, my, is that exciting. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. That's part of it. There are many other aspects that they do. You've read about living with the Himalayan masters and Swami Rama, and you read about how he and his master went for a walk. He doesn't tell you particularly where, but they went places. They did this many times. And they just wore their little loincloth because they weren't naked masters. Many masters in India are naked masters, but they weren't naked masters. They wore a little loincloth. And so they took their one blanket with them, or maybe it was just their sheet, but they took it with them. And they laid down to sleep out in the middle of nowhere. And in the middle of the night, Swami Rama, Rama woke up and found that he had both blankets on him, and his master had none. So he took his master's blanket and put it back on him. And he woke up again and found this. And he woke up again and found it. And he woke up again and found it. He didn't get the message that he didn't need a blanket. He got the message that he was covering his master. He was making sure his master was comfortable with a blanket on him, that the master didn't give the blanket to him instead of keeping it for himself. He didn't get the message. The Chelas who are putting the ice-cold sheets on their body don't get the message that the ice-cold sheets are warm, steamy towels, and that as they dry these steamy towels on their warm body, they are totally comfortable. All you hear about is the icy stream, the icy sheets, the naked people standing there or sitting there with these naked sheets of cold ice on them in sub-zero weather. Oh! In kindergarten, my friends, in kindergarten, you learn to walk on fire. They're teaching it to every Tom, Dick, and Mary. Teaching them how to walk on fire by calling it cool wet moss or something else. In the kindergarten of psychological training, next they'll come up with walking on water and say, oh, look at how wonderful we are. That too is kindergarten. All these things are kindergarten. You see, go to these different schools, go to these different gurus, go to these different teachers. They're wonderful. Each has a purpose. Each works with their master students at the level that they're on. Each works with them at the level they're on because they're not able to perceive. They're not able to perceive. Are you able to perceive? You want to be a master, you say. But then you tell your teacher that he's full of shit, you know. And occasionally I go to the bathroom and empty out, but perhaps I am. You want to be a master, go to these different schools around the world and you won't fit, because what you're ready for is not what they're teaching. Because you don't even perceive what they're teaching when I tell you straight out. Not because you're stupid, but because you have a preconceived idea of what they're doing. Now John has gone to many places. Why didn't he stay there? Why didn't he study there? Why didn't he give 100% of himself to the training program they had? Because that wasn't his thing. You have had some of the greatest teachers in the universe standing before you in many times. And all you did was say, oh, Sai Baba, I love you so, Sai Baba. And Sai Baba says, go for it, babe, you know. The teacher always teaches you to love yourself. People told Sai Baba, you're God, Sai Baba. He says, yes, I know it, but you're God too, and you don't know it. You see, every one of the great, wonderful, marvelous teachers teach us these things. And our dream of being a master, or being a master aware, only take place when we wake up. We wake up to the fact that we are a master right now. What are you learning here at the Absolute Monastery? What are you learning here at the University of Healing? What sort of things are you learning? Are you learning how to levitate, teleport, learning how to walk on water, learning how to do all the kindergarten stuff? Are you learning that? We could teach that here. What are we teaching you? Well, first we're teaching you that you're to be yourself and have fun. That's what life's all about. Well, that's not very tough. That's not very masterly in training, you say to yourself. But perhaps I'm missing something. And perhaps you are. Then I tell you, dream your wildest dreams. And you say, oh boy, he's gone off his rocker. I should dream my wildest dream. If I dreamt my wildest dream, I'd be flying through the sky. If I dreamt my wildest dream, I would be invisible or visible. No. Those are not your wildest dreams. Your wildest dream is to be aware of your inner illumination, to be aware of your divinity, to be aware of your reality, to be aware that you're God and what it means. That's really what you're going for here. Be yourself and have fun. That doesn't mean to go dancing every night, partying all the time. I encourage you to do that. Herb, why are you always encouraging us to have party, party, party? Because if I can make you get off the track, I want to do that. What we teach you here is self-discipline. The four D's, remember? Who can tell me what the four D's are loud enough so the microphone can pick you up?
Discipline, dedication, determination, diligence.
A for our girl in the back seat there. Has she got discipline, dedication, diligence, determination?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. You see, if she did, she would not be so proud of her dialect and her ability to speak German English. She puts the prepositional phrases and verb phrases in the wrong place for English. In German it's just fine, but in English it's not. And she doesn't choose to learn to do it right. Now you say, certainly she would love to do that because she'd like to write. Well, the moment she learns to put those phrases in the right location, she's got the good phrases. She's got the good content. She's got the good delight in her. But if anyone finds flaws in us as we are presenting ourselves, then we are not presenting ourselves right. If someone comes up to you and mispronounces a word, or comes up to you and uses a word incorrectly, even though they may say, here is your zillion dollar check, your million dollar check, your $1,000 check, you know. You say, okay, thank you very much. I was all set for the zillion dollar check. How much is a zillion dollars? You see, any flaws that we have in us, it makes us less than what we want to be. Now, Ellen spoke to us about speaking to a stone, and she spoke to us about her family jewels, and she spoke to us how they no longer were important to her once she realized that she could speak to a stone and the stone could speak to her. But what did that really say? Did Ellen go to every stone in her jewelry box and say, hey, I got time. Tell me your story. Did she go to every little diamond that she had, every ruby, every emerald, every amethyst, every stone of lovely jade? Did she speak to them and say, tell me your story? Or was she so interested in telling the stones her story, how she learned how to speak to a stone? You see, being able to speak to a stone is one thing, but being able to let a stone speak to you, that's another thing. Because what's happening when you let something speak to you? You're letting the outer world, which you are, be whatever you want it to be, because it's not speaking, that's you speaking. That's you speaking through that stone. That's you with your little hand puppet here, you know, telling your story of Miss Foxima, or Crackle Craw and Crackle Cree, or the Ansel, the Aedsel, whatever you call them, the donkey, yes. You see, you all have the privilege of being divine right now, because you are. You have the privilege of being God right now, because you are. You think it'd be wonderful to go to the Himalayas. It'd be wonderful to go to Thailand. It'd be wonderful to go to these ancient temples in the Mayan countries. It'd be wonderful to have the the drug that the lady had last night in chocolate. But did you notice? With the drug, as wonderful as it was for the people in the community, it didn't help her very much. She didn't take it and enjoy it herself, although she did drink it, whatever they did. And it didn't bring peace into her heart. Until, harmoniously with the story and with the listeners, she let her human self come through and become attached to this man from the boat. He's an outstanding fellow. He was a pure spirit, and he played his role very well. And she was a good actress too. And she was a good piece of art from the show. But she had one flaw. And that flaw was that she allowed her human self to come through. Her sensitivity to the world. She was telling everyone else to be themselves, to follow their inner dream, their inner goal. But she didn't. And her daughter tried to tell her that, but she didn't hear it. Not until later. What is your daughter saying to you? What is your son saying to you? What is your divine spirit saying to you? What are you supposed to do now? Are you supposed to dash off to some great guru, the Dalai Lama? How many people follow the Dalai Lama? How foolish they are. Be the Dalai Lama. Be Jesus. Be God. What do they say if a person goes around saying, I'm Jesus Christ? They put him in a white jacket, tied in back. They put him in an institution where he cannot hurt himself or others. But that's what you are. All of you are Jesus Christ. All of you are the Buddha. All of you are God. All of you are every great spiritual master who's ever walked upon the face of the earth or elsewhere. All of you are illumined beings. All of you are outstanding beings. But you don't know it. See, your dream for yourself will be accomplished when you wake up. When you wake up and realize, hey, I am. I am that I am. And when you say, why am I here at the monastery? Why am I here at this place where they just have me do chores and do other things? Yesterday, you were cleaning up the house that we have there. And what were you doing in the house? What were you doing in the garden? Were you trying to find the easiest job to do so that you wouldn't have to work too hard? Or did you just go at whatever it was to be done and just joyfully do it with a song on your lips? I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. Was that your song? Or was your song, yippee, I'm riding this thing like a cowboy, which is not bad. Or, oh, I'm having fun. Or, God, this is hard work. man, this is a pain in the butt. I'm doing all these things. Who's getting the credit? Who's doing the fun job? Anita's running the tractor there. She's got the showboat. John's got the truck over there. And his big white sheep that he's picking up leaves and carrying it away from one place so it can blow back there again. Just having a ball. And Garrett is over knocking down a fence that we spent thousands of dollars to put up. No consideration for the fact that that cost a lot of money to put that thing up. But he took it down very nicely. And Sylvia took her shovel and her spade and she dug into the garden and found a bunch of bulbs down there. Thought, well, just let them be there. They'll come up again. Instead of going through the soil and cleaning it up nicely and bringing it out. And Sylvia also, she has her little can. She puts her weeds in the can because she likes to get down once in a while off of her digging pedestal, walk over to the wheelbarrow, put it in the wheelbarrow, and then come back. Why didn't she just bring the wheelbarrow to her? Because she enjoyed the walk. She enjoyed the opportunity to get out of her digging place and go and come back for it. And Ingeborg, she found everything under the sun to clean up. And she'd start something and then go to something else. And she'd start something, go to something else. Start something, go to something else. So that she had a lot of projects going at once. And there's no fulfillment in that sort of thing. Finish each task as you're doing it. Now, I don't care whether it's ever finished over there. I don't care whether that house is ever painted or is ever cleaned up or is ever made nice. But you do. Because it's your little project. Washing the windows is your project. Sweeping the floor is your project. Doing the dishes is your project. Making the meal is your project. Trimming the trees is your project. Picking up the sticks is your project. Doing anything is your project. And I guarantee you, it is as important as putting on a cold, wet sheet. It's as important as walking on fire. It's as important as anything you ever do. For if you do everything with diligence, dedication, determination, and discipline, you will experience your mastership. It's already there, but you've got to let it talk to you. And your mastership is you. Now, you can leave here after a week, a month, a year, a lifetime, but it doesn't matter. You can stay here a week, a month, a year, a lifetime. It doesn't matter. Because this place is a place of discipline. This place is a place of learning how to be untouched. Learning unconditional love. Now you'd say, gee, those are great things. Yes, they are. Are you ready to learn them? Are you ready to have those experiences? Well, yeah, they're great, but they're not as great as being a master. Well, that's okay. Stop and think. What makes up being a master? What makes up being a master? Can't hear you. What makes up being a master? What makes up being a master? Is being yourself and having fun. If you, for one second, ever think you're doing something that's not being fun and not being yourself, you're not a master. If you, all of the time, recognize that you're being yourself and having fun, and you are being yourself and having fun, and you're enjoying it, you're a master. But Herb, that's too simple. Look, I told you. You are here in this school for one reason only. This is your last step. your last step into the awareness of who you are. Go to any other school you like, that's perfectly okay. As I said, walking on fire is kindergarten. Doing miracles is kindergarten. This illusionary body that we have is kindergarten. Our body, our pictures, whatever our thoughts are. Well, why don't we all look like Adonis and Terpsichore and Venus de Milo? If you recall, Venus de Milo was a pretty chunky woman. She lost her arm. Does that please you? Let's be whole and perfect. Let's be our archetypal self. It's so simple. You just go in my bathroom, look in the mirror, and you'll see your archetypal self. Now, go in any mirror, any time, and look. And if you don't see your archetypal self, you better get out your windshield wipers, you get out your Windex and clean the old glamours there. Because in that mirror is God. In that mirror is you. In that mirror is perfection. Now, I'm telling you. I told Herbert Marti, I said, your friend Tinkerbell came to visit your house, and your wife was there alone, and she says, I want to see your husband. And your wife said, husband's not home. And she walked right in the house with her little tiny skirt and her golden dress and so on. And she went to every room and sprinkled it with her pixie dust. Every room was illumined in that house. And then she went out to the pond in the front yard, and she sprinkled pixie dust in there. And she says, everyone who bathes in that pond will be younger. Everyone who drinks from the pond will drink from the fountain of youth. And you know, Herbert didn't run home to see what was going on. He later checked on it, but it was quite a bit later. And he got in the pond. And when he went into the pond, he got a cold. Because he didn't put into practice what he was doing. He didn't immediately do it. So the gift was lost for him. As the gift is lost for us so often, because we don't immediately put it into practice. Here, you have so many subtleties. So many little suggestions to walk your path and be beautiful. So many little suggestions to polish up your inner glow. And when you polish up your inner glow, what will you see? Will you see your divinity? Will you see the purity that's in you? Will you see God? Go ahead, travel to all the gurus and all the great ones over the world. They're great. I don't deny that at all. But most of them are teaching kindergarten. The cold, wet sheet. I walk this path every day in the morning. It's not below zero, true. Half an hour, twice, 3 miles. It's wonderful. If I were to take each one of you with me, just the way you are right now, could you handle it? Maybe, maybe not. That's your decision. Are you ready? Your illumination is right here. Right within your grasp. Dreams are achieved by waking up. Wake up to your illumination, and it's yours. It's just that simple. Are you ready for it? Dreams are achieved by waking up. And that's kind of wonderful, isn't it? Kind of exciting. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.